Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. And ladies and gentlemen, so good to be here. How are you all? Very good. It's been a long time since I've been here. Everything's changed. It's all back to front. I remember being, everything was on the other side. So it's going to take me a little bit of time to get used to the feel and the energy in here. Very different. But I'm glad you're all here. And Spirit are glad you're all here too. Okay. And it's interesting, those words you mentioned at the beginning you were going to change. As I'm sitting there, I'm going, this is really good. Because when everybody's saying those words, it's interesting when we say, I believe. And it's powerful what our beliefs are. Is that true? Yes. Yeah. And our beliefs have the power and the ability to create. And so in every moment, we're creating our existence on this earth plane. And Spirit are with us. Spirit are guiding us and helping us on that path. And today, I hope they're going to help me to say whatever words need to be shared for you. Okay. It's interesting, last time I was here in Morwell, I had to get that right for a moment, I'm in Morwell. I come in the morning and usually sometimes I plan during the week what I'm going to say, and I remember that day, some of you were here, and there was a fly. Anybody remember the fly?
Oh, yes, we named it.
We did name it. There was a fly in here, and immediately before I got up, everything I was going to talk about went out the window. And it was almost like, okay, gone. What am I talking about? And then halfway through, this fly turned up and I finally got the message. Hopefully today's a little bit different. I think Spirit are going to keep me on track. So let me start with a little story, you know, because that was a lovely story about the, was it the tuba, the trumpet, the golden toilet? One of the things I do a lot of work with people in customer service. Anybody ever had customer service before? Anybody had good service? Anybody had bad service? Yeah, we have it all. And there's this funny little story. It was actually of a husband and wife. They had a friend of theirs that was about to open a fashion shop, a retail store. So they decided one day it would be really nice before the shop opens that they would actually send some flowers. So they dialed up the florist. I had to bring my own flowers just to demonstrate. They dialed up the florist and they ordered this beautiful bouquet to be sent on the day that the shop actually opened. A couple of weeks went by, the shop opening came along, and the lovely lady whose shop it was, she turned up to the store in the morning and there were all these flowers, and she was excited that her friends had thought of her. So she picks up all the flowers, takes them inside and starts reading the messages, and finally she gets to one. And on this one message it says, rest in peace. And she was really upset. She said, you know, this is my friends, Frank and Jane, and they've sent me this bunch. It must be a mistake. Rest in peace. So she's gone and rung up the florist. And she's got the little young girl who works at the reception. And she starts giving her an earful, complaining that a friend spent all this money and they mixed up the card and got rest in peace. Surely it's not the message from them. And the young girl on the other side was very good at customer service. All she did was listen and say, mm-hmm, thank you, yes, madam, yes, yes, yes. And finally she got to the very end and the young girl said kindly, she says, madam, look, if it makes you feel any better, just think that right now there's a funeral going on somewhere and somebody's just received a bouquet saying, welcome to your new location. I like that story because it actually reminds us that at some time in this life, we will all be in a new location. Is that true? Yeah. And I like it's a new location because it means we're moving on, whether it's to Bairnsdale or somewhere else. But we're all going to be in that place where we move to a new location. And you know what I mean. But during that time on the earth plane, is our journey always easy? No, a few nodding heads. It's not, is it? And it's interesting that, you know, on a soul level, and I spent many years doing a lot of hypnotherapy and working with clients, and when we take people back into past lives, we can actually take them into the life between lives where they're choosing to incarnate. And it's often at that point they're planning their life and they're planning a few things that they want to experience. And as a soul that is incarnate on the earth plane, we've chosen some experiences. And not all of them are going to be the beautiful mountains, you know. Sometimes we're going to end up in some valleys. Anybody ever been in a valley before? Apart from me. We all do, don't we? And it's interesting how these experiences come up. And the reason I share that is, you know, during the week, I actually was visiting a friend of mine. She actually was an ex-partner of mine years ago, and she's going through a huge health crisis. This whole year, it's almost like her immune system has shut down. She's gone from one issue to the next. And, you know, the other day I was with her because I could hear how desperate she was. And at the moment, she's in chronic pain. Anybody experience pain? Is it nice?
No.
And so when I saw her, I could see it on her face. I could see this turmoil inside and this pain and suffering. And it's hard because she even said to me, she says, Les, you know, the cancer side is nothing. It's the pain that's the issue. Because it's there all day, all night, you know, and it's constant. And I could see how to drain the energy from her. So she's going through this. And I'm thinking, you know, after I left her and I did a lot of healing work with her, she's very open to that. And, you know, things were better for a couple of days. So hopefully it stays that way. But I was thinking, isn't it interesting? Why, as a soul, would people choose, or would we choose to suffer? Would we choose to go through these experiences? You know, at one stage she even said, you know, God, why has God given this to me? And I go, well, is it that God's given it to you, or is it just that it is? But one of the things that we will go through on this earth plane, we will go through these times. And how we navigate those and move beyond them is what defines us as spirit and human beings. One thing we call these things, we call them crucible moments. You know, there's sometimes we hear of people who have gone through the dark night of the soul. Anybody heard that expression? Yeah, it's those moments that could be soul-defining moments in our life. And as we move through them, they teach us some vital lessons. And it reminds us of these crucibles. What's a crucible? Anybody heard the word? It's a melting pot. It's a pot that's used to actually melt metals, and it's heated up to a high temperature, and the metals like gold or silver or other things actually dissolve in there. And when they're heated up to that high temperature, what rises to the top? The scum, the dross. And that's where we can scoop it off. And as you scoop off that dross, what happens to the metal inside the pot? It becomes more pure. And sometimes on the soul level, on our journey here, we go through those. Or we have people who have gone through these experiences. And it's not always easy, but if we're connected with spirit, we're connected with love, we're connected with our hearts, we can move through it more easily. So I felt today my message was about this. It's about how can we learn to move beyond that, to move beyond fear, beyond limitations, beyond the things that hold us up, to fully realize our spiritual potential. Because that's why we're here. At some level, we chose this experience, we chose the people, we chose our family groups, and we're here on a journey together. So would that be okay to share that with you today? Would that be a yes or yes?
Yes.
Okay, just turn to the person next to you and say, I'm ready.
I'm ready.
You got it. Okay. So what Spirit would like me to share, when I was thinking about this, they actually said to me, you know, Les, there's five kind of key things. At the moment, I feel on the earth plane, there's a lot of suffering and there's people going through hardship. It's interesting, the younger generations, we were just talking about this, are having issues. They're very sensitive souls. They've been brought in at this moment to create change on the planet. A lot of them are here to lead. But some of them are so lost in themselves that they search outside of themselves for direction and guidance. Often they get lost. Anybody ever been lost? Yeah. And when we're lost, it's very hard. We're always searching. And in fact, a lot of people who turn up in a spiritual center like this come, and I know I did years ago, because part of me was lost. And I'm so glad I found something I connected with. I thought, oh, they're my people. You know, there's something there. There's something I need to learn. So Spirit said there were really five things. How many?
Five.
Just making sure you're awake. Five things they wanted to share today to help people arise. Everyone say arise. Because that's what we need right now. So the first thing, number one, the letter A, is for align. We as human beings need to align our thoughts, our energy with the divine. Most people aren't even aware there's a divine source. There's a higher energy, there's a frequency. But the moment we start to know that and we start to align, what does align mean? To come together, to bring it together, to connect with true source and bridge that gap. And we can do that in each moment very simply. We can do it through the thoughts that we share, the words that we say. We can do it in our actions and our behavior in each moment of connecting more. But Spirit said there's one thing we can all do. And you don't need a magic wand. But there's one thing we can all do. Why am I giving you the magic wand? Are you a wizard, a magician? Are you going to weave some magic? I feel there's something shifting for you.
Yes.
Yeah, I'll give you the magic wand then.
Thank you.
It's almost like they're initiating you. Watch out about Hogwarts. You know, Harry Potter, I don't know, there's something there. Anyway, with the wand, they said basically there's something that we can all do, and it's the simplest thing in the world, and that is to enter into silence. To just enter into silence. To stop. And spend 5 minutes and just sit in pure, undivided silence. Whether it's out in nature, connecting. And once we've done 5 minutes, we then get our P's and we can go to 10 minutes and 15 minutes. And I'm wondering what would happen if you were just able to even spend 20 minutes in silence. How much energy, how much power, how much presence is in that 20 minutes? How filled would your life be in that 20 minutes? It's a gift. So what gets in the way?
The mind.
The mind, yeah. We've got 101 things that are going on. So sometimes we have to just, you know, just imagine bringing ourselves back into the center, bringing ourselves back. Going, okay, I just have to come back into the breath. Breath is always there. It's always moving. What else holds us back from doing that?
Schedule.
Demands of others, expectations of others. And I was saying to a friend during the week, actually I was saying to somebody who's working in an aged care home, they were talking about how there was somebody there that was burnt out. I said, it's very hard to care for others when you haven't cared for yourself first. Yeah, we have to make sure we're number one, that we're filled before we go out in the world and start serving and helping others. But Spirit said, you know, 1 hour of silence is worth a whole year of personal growth and development, you know, to connect in that power. So A, align ourselves with the divine. The R was for reclaim. Everybody say reclaim. What we need to reclaim is our presence and our power back. On the earth level, it's quite easy for us to get connected with others, whether it's family members, whether it's in relationships, and situations and trauma that happens that takes part of our spirit away. Sometimes we can lose ourselves in maybe it's a divorce or a separation or losing a job. And Spirit says it's time to reclaim our power back. Yeah. Reclaim. What does reclaim mean?
To bring back.
To give back to oneself. So here's a little story they wanted me to share. And it was about a Native American Indian, a Navajo Indian, who at a very young age, this boy was only about 10 years old. His name was David Chetlahay Paladin. And at a very young age, David was very good at drawing. He could actually draw things. He had this innate ability to, almost like an architect, create things from memory and be able to draw. However, he got frustrated on this Navajo Indian reserve, and he and his cousin were always getting into trouble. They were juvenile delinquents, always being getting into trouble, being taken by the police and returned back to the reservation. Then one day, he and his cousin decided to escape. And they ran away and they joined the Merchant Marines. And at this time, it was almost around the time of World War II. And David and his cousin travelled around on these boats, working as on the Merchant Navy, as ship hands. And David would often draw different islands and installations. And it came to World War II, there was conscription. And he was called to join the army. And then they realized he had a gift. He had two gifts, actually. One was he could draw. So they would often get him to draw military installations and other things on islands. But the other gift he spoke was Navajo. Why do you think that might have been a gift?
Speaking a language that others couldn't interpret.
Exactly. Yeah. And the Americans understood this. So when they sent him into Europe, they sent him as almost a bit of a spy to feed back information because they knew the Russians, the Germans couldn't understand Navajo. And they used it as the language back and forth. To cut the story short, David actually was captured. He was actually sent off to a POW camp towards the end of the war. And in that camp, as he was in this camp and having this heart for people and seeing what people were going through, and he was lucky he didn't get sent to concentration camp. And the only reason they didn't send him was because he spoke Navajo. They didn't know where to place him. But they sent him to the POW camp. And one day in that POW camp, as David was there, another gentleman who was actually frail and couldn't eat dropped a piece of bread on the ground. And David went over to help him and picked it up off the ground. And the German officer came to him and said, "What are you doing? Who do you think you are? Do you think you're Jesus the Christ?" And they took David. They tied him to a pole in this hut and they nailed his feet into the ground and tied his arms up. He was there for 3 days. And with all that pain and suffering, he went in and out of hallucination. He lost all consciousness at one point. But what he did remember from the story was that in the middle of the night, out of nowhere, when he was half in a daze, somebody would come in and feed him. But it wasn't ordinary food. It was almost like chicken that had been off or with maggots, but they would put it in his mouth and stuff it in his mouth. A couple of months, he lost all feeling in his legs. He lost all of his consciousness in that trauma. And at the end of the war, when they finally released him, the Americans came, they shipped him off to Battle Creek, Michigan, to a rehabilitation center. And while he was there, recovering, he had the braces, almost like what they use for polio. He'd lost all of this connection with who he was. Something inside of him said, "It's time. I want to go back to the reservation." And he pleaded with the army officers, "Can I go back? I need to see my people." And he went back, traveled all the way to the reservation. And it's funny, the elders there welcomed him in. They sat him down and they said, "Chetlahay, tell us your story." Because they could see he couldn't walk. He's in a wheelchair. He's bound. And all they did was sat there and they witnessed his story. Isn't it interesting? You know, like as human beings, often we want to talk over somebody. All they did was witness. They allowed him to speak his truth, to speak the whole story of what had happened to him. And at the end of hearing the story, they said this. They said, "Chetlahay, come back tomorrow. Meet us at the river." And so he did. And the elders knew what he needed to heal. So they tied him with a rope. They sank him into a river in freezing cold water. And they tied him there and they said, "Chetlahay," as he was in the water. They said these words to him. They said, "Chetlahay, call back your spirit. Call back your spirit." And for 3 days while he was in this water, he started to get memories of everything that had happened to him on that journey. He started to see the people and the German officer's face, and he was able to forgive that person. He was able to see the hand that was feeding the food in his mouth, and it was almost like a part of his soul and said, spirit said to him, "Chetlahay, I'm sorry, but this was the only food I could find to feed you to keep you alive." Now, who that was putting the food, I have no idea. But whereas he thought they were trying to kill him, it was actually a gift. Needless to say, after 3 days of calling back his spirit, taking back his power, he was able to walk again. It was almost like in that forgiveness process, there was release. So the message in his story is simple. It is about reclaiming our power. And all we have to do is say these words to call back our spirit from wherever we've left it. Bring it back into us. The eye. Who's ready for the eye? Say yes.
Yes.
Eye. Okay. The eye is for invoke. And it's interesting, Sue shared those words before. But when we have words, our words are powerful. Is that true or true?
True.
See, I didn't give you a choice. We invoke. Invoke is to declare, to use the voice and the words to call forth. It's interesting that most of the famous traditions throughout the world invoke prayer as a way of healing, as a way of change. Anybody ever prayed before? Yeah. As human beings, how do we pray? We think.
We ask for help,
yeah. And it's interesting, there's a guy called Greg Braden who again worked with a lot of American Indians, and he found out the American Indians actually pray very differently. Instead of asking for things, which we human beings do, they pray prayers of gratitude. They believe that what they want is already there. So if somebody is ill, they say, thank you for the healing. Thank you for restoring me to health. Thank you that today I have financial abundance in my life. Even when it's not there, it's a difference. And that makes a huge shift. It's shifting the way, but they speak it forward. In the Bible, it says, ask and you shall. Seek and you shall. Knock and the door will be. Oh, you're very good, aren't you? But what's the first thing we have to ask, isn't it? Yeah. And especially when we're lost in life, we need to ask for help, whether it's spirit or people around us. Somebody once said, isn't it interesting that Moses, anybody know Moses? Yeah. How is he? You all know him. He's good. Isn't it interesting that Moses took the Israelites, he took them into this desert and they were lost there for how many years?
40
years. It was a 15-kilometre trip. Yeah. People say that while Moses got the Israelites, you know, out of Egypt, he didn't actually get Egypt out of the Israelites. It was the mentality of slavery that had been in their heads that was holding everybody back from change, from moving. But it's also said that if they were lost in the desert for 40 years, it just shows you in biblical times, even men refuse to ask for directions.
Generation had to die. So that mentality changed.
That's it, yeah. And isn't it lucky we're in this generation where we're now so open that, you know, to that instead of that resistance? And that leads into the last two things. The S is for surrender. Often in life, what are we doing a lot of the times? We're holding on. Change is coming, like the, let's say, the Israelites, and what are they doing? They're holding on to what they have known. And as human beings, do we try to control things?
Yes.
Yes or yes? We do, don't we? So do this little experiment for me. I'd like you to take your right hand in the air. It's very simple. I'd like you to place it on your heart. Yeah, on your heart, not on the person next to you's heart. Who's making your heart beat? Who's making it beat? You. Do you have to force it?
No.
No. Your lungs are breathing right now. Who's allowing those lungs to breathe? And do you have to force it? Do you have to put effort? Yeah. The roses grow outside and they don't effort to do anything. And yet we as human beings sometimes find ourselves caught in these patterns where we're forcing things. And that's where this resistance comes in. We think we're the masters of the universe. But sometimes we have to realize there's a greater power at play. Does it take trust to surrender? Huge. And for all of us on a spiritual path, we will have many opportunities where we just have to hand over. My friend who's sick at the moment, as hard as it is, it's not, you know, she can do only so much she can do. I can help her, others can help, but she also has to surrender whatever this is and go, may the highest good take place. Yeah. There is a nice little video I want you to go and watch on YouTube after this, if you've got YouTube. It's by Bob Newhart. Anybody remember Bob Newhart from the 70s, 80s? He had a TV show, The Bob Newhart Show. He had a very simple way of fixing people's problems. He was a doctor and a therapist. And there's one video you'll find on YouTube where a lady came in who had a fear of dying, being buried alive in a coffin. That was her fear. And all he gave her was two words. He said, I'm going to give you 5 minutes. That's all it's going to take to fix your problem. Two words. I want you to get your pen out and write this down. Two words were, stop it. Stop it. If you have a fear, stop it. Just stop it. You know? Thought it's a very good way. But sometimes we need to stop it too, don't we? Because we can let those thoughts continue on. Surrender, let go, and let God. Very last one, E. Who's ready for E?
I'm ready.
Yeah, the very last one. So E is really three words they gave me, which is to basically elevate, empower, and enlighten. We are not here on this journey for ourselves. We think we are. We are here to make a difference to others, to share our gift, whatever that might be. Could be gardening, could be cooking, could be making cups of tea, could be sharing a joke, you know, that warms people. But we're here to leave that difference, to share our light with others. And it doesn't take a lot. And Spirit said, sometimes we can do that in the simplest acts of kindness. Acts of?
Kindness.
Yeah? But to invoke this, you need something. You need to switch this on, this energy of being in this active service. So who's ready to do that? Who's ready to want to step forth and do that? So what I'd like you to do, because you've got the right thing, is just again the right hand. Take the right hand, finger like this, just pointing, very simple. I want you to imagine there's a little switch on your arm. And I want you to switch yourself on and say, I'm ready to listen. Yeah. You switched on now, aren't you? You're ready for the next step I'm going to share. I want you now to turn to the person next to you, and I want you to do the same thing for them. Very good. Some of you, very good. Now, please turn to that person next to you. Please turn to that person next to you and just ask them, are you feeling turned on?
I like girls.
I'll make a note of that one. Too many of you having too much fun with that. But here's the thing. This, now that you switched on, this random acts of kindness, one of the things we can do is very simple things. A couple of years ago, probably 2 years ago, I was in Melbourne in the city. I was having a coffee. I was working early in the morning there. And I was in this coffee shop in De Graves Lane. And I noticed this guy who'd been sitting opposite me in this coffee shop get up. And he went to the cash register, to the barista, and he said, it's my birthday today. And the guy said, happy birthday. It's a good day. He says, yeah, it is a good day. You know, congratulations. And then he handed him a $20 note and he says, I'd like you to buy the next 4 people who come in coffee on my behalf. And the guy said, oh, that's really nice of you. And he took the extra $20. The guy paid his bill and he left. And I'm still sitting there. And then I was watching people come up to the coffee window. And people would order their coffee and $3.50 or whatever it was. And the guy would say, oh, no, that's on the guy. There was a guy who came in. It was his birthday. And you should see these people light up. It's like, that doesn't happen. People don't do that. But what I noticed that day, and I've started doing it for my birthday now. I go out for my birthday and a coffee. I go, it's a good day to be alive. It's my birthday. $20. Go and treat somebody else. Simple thing. But what that guy did was the energy he left. He lit people up just by something so small. So to wrap this talk up, because they're telling me it's time to finish it up, I'm going to go back to the Bible, to one of my favourite quotes in there. It's actually from Matthew 5:14. When I first heard this, I thought, I love this. And it says, you are a light for the world. What are you? No one takes a light and places it under a bowl, do they? Instead, they take the light and they place it on the lampstand for everyone to see. Yeah? You were not born to play small. You were born to stand out and shine. So let your light shine. It's time, Spirit says, for people to arise and shine, to arise, to align yourself with the divine, to reclaim and take back your own spiritual personal power. to invoke, you know, to ask for what you want and declare for what you want, to surrender what you can't control, and most of all, to use that energy, the E, to empower, to elevate, to enlighten, and bring your gift to the world. And I'm going to leave you with that to think about. Thank you.
Thank you.